You got pillow?
Yeah, a little pillow. I got a blankie. I got whatever you want back here.
Anything.
I got anything you want. You want a vacuum? I got a vacuum.
You do, I see it.
You want a...
You got Jolly Ranchers?
No, I ate that one. let's see. Is this good? We're good?
I think we're good.
Did you see that I fixed your... Did you see that I fixed your issue here?
No, what'd you do?
Your microphone didn't have anything to grip on because the Velcro is off, so I put a little thing there so that you could, it would stay there.
Wait, what is that?
It's just like a, I don't know, what is this? This is like a thing you put on your keys to identify where you've been.
Oh, a...
I'm doing this blind.
Keychain?
Yeah, like a keychain icon. Does that make sense? Probably not.
Oh, you're not plugged in.
I'm not plugged in yet.
Yeah, give me
to
that.
The Matrix.
Boom.
Are we in the Matrix
now? You're recording.
I'm in the Matrix, baby.
Now we're officially recording.
Welcome back, everybody. This is We Stayed Late. I promised three people.
Oh, man.
But I'm only brought back one. I brought a Spencer back. I dragged him out of Mexico.
I'm here.
Said, you're coming with me.
He did. He came to Mexico, and he dragged me out. I had to be dragged home.
I did it in my dreams. I dreamed every night lucidly. For you to come home.
Yeah, it worked.
I would never do that. I wouldn't strip you away from those amazing Instagram stories that you had.
I had to come home. There's a time. There's a time and place for everything.
Listen, everything you did there, there was one night. I think I texted. I messaged you. I was just such in awe with, I was just like, first off, you were underwater.
Yeah.
With these, what's it called?
Rays?
Yeah, stingrays?
Stingrays, yeah.
Stingrays. And it looked so clear. The water looked clear. The phone was clear.
It was nuts.
You were right in its face. And I had this experience of like, wow, what a time to live in when we can bring cameras and stream it. And I can honestly feel like I was there.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
pretty
crazy.
Have to pay to see this. I'm like in this surreal moment of being underwater with these beautiful creatures.
Oh, they were
you were just
best.
Cuddling, right?
Yeah. So we went to Riviera Maya, which is like between Cancun and Tulum.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's somewhere in there.
It's
in that region. Anyway, highly recommend it. It's a great place to go. Mexico, there's sort of a safety issue that gets brought up every time people talk about Mexico. And I think that there's certainly a lot of validity to it, because we drove through, you know, the streets with as we were going to our hotel, and it was awesome to see the culture, but like not somewhere you really want to be at night as an American.
Not, yeah.
You know, just not, it's just not safe necessarily. It's like being in a bad part of LA.
Yeah.
But if you can get an all-inclusive hotel, which is what we did, and you don't leave the hotel except to go on, you know, except to go to the park, which we did, which we could walk to, and to go on excursions that were officially sanctioned through the hotel, so we knew that they were
safe.
It's amazing.
Like, why would you leave everything? It looked like you had a completely packed like time there.
Well, the thing, part of me wishes that we had time to relax.
Really?
Yeah, because like every single day we were doing stuff from sunup to sundown and beyond, and we didn't get a day where we could just hang out at the beach.
Just chill at the beach, yeah.
And honestly, we tried. Uh-huh. Like, we tried to do that. There was one day where we were like, okay, we're just going to rest. And then halfway through the day, we were like, no, we got to go do crazy shit.
Yeah.
So we went and did more crazy shit. But like looking back on it, I'm like, man, I wish I would have just like relaxed at the beach more. But it was still, I mean, it was the best vacation I've ever been on.
That's amazing.
There was...
What, like, why did you guys choose to go there? Like, what was the thing that you were, like, sitting on your couch thinking?
Yeah.
Like, what inspired this trip?
It was a long time coming because I went to... The park is called Xcaret. It's Xcaret.
Okay.
And then the hotel we stayed at was the Occidental Xcaret. So it was right next door. It was walking distance. You literally could just walk through a back path and be like in the back side of the park. It was
amazing.
Really crazy.
Yeah.
But I had gone there as a teenager.
Okay.
Playing soccer. We went to Mexico and played. And we also just went on, like, you know, vacations there sometimes. And we stayed at an all-inclusive, and we went to Ishkaret for one day. And
that's where it started.
One day. And I was like, this is the coolest place I've ever been. I have to go back. And that was, let's see, I was probably 14.
Oh, my God.
So that was 13 years ago.
So you've kind of told, this is before you knew Hannah.
Yeah.
So you've kind of been telling Hannah about this experience, about how.
Yeah, that was like right when I met Hannah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Kind
of the thing where, like, man, I wish I would have gone with Hannah.
Yeah. It was like one of those. It'd be like having that experience as a child, and then you looking at it and being like, man, I wish I went with Sarah because, like, there's so many cool things. But part of it too for me was that I remembered so much, almost like a dream, that I was afraid I was going to go, and it wasn't going to be like that.
Right. But what when you got there, were this? You were like, oh my God, there's that thing, there's that plant, there's that whatever.
So the one of the main features of Ishkaret, which by the way, you should go look it up because it's just it's absolute paradise. It's just heaven. I don't understand.
It was insane.
Absurd. One of the main features is there is an underground river, which isn't always underground, but it's called the Underground River. Sort of a lazy river that runs through the entire park.
Beautiful.
So you can take a river. It goes through caves. It goes through, like, different features underneath buildings, all sorts of stuff. And you can get off periodically throughout the park if you want to, or you can take it all the way to the end and you're on the other side of the park.
Amazing.
It's like the monorail. But water.
Yeah. How long is that trip if you want to be lazy about it?
If you want, so it depends, because if you swim it, it's like 30 minutes.
Oh, that's a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, if you don't swim it, it's like an hour. You have to swim it kind of, but if you're like super chill, it's like an hour. But it's one of the main features because you literally, there are three different paths you can take that take you different areas through the park, and all of them have different experiences. Like one of them we went through, just this giant mangrove forest. One of them was through a cave full of bats.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
So it's like, and the area that we went through, like the area that I was filming where you could see the bats, that was the entrance to where that area was. It was too dark in a lot of areas to like get good footage, but every once in a while I'd grab it. And it was really amazing because the first day we were there, we saw everybody with these bags around their neck. These like plastic, they're like this big in their bags. I was like, why do they have those? And quickly we realized it's because you slide your phone into it and you lock it.
Yeah.
And then you can film just underwater.
Walk. You just walk and then you can be capturing
everything. You can film stuff out of the water. You can So we got one of those bags.
Yeah.
And then you just put your phone in it, you lock it up, and then you can start filming. And the crazy thing is that I didn't realize until I started doing it is that because of the way the phones work, that they need pressure on them to be able to do stuff. To film underwater, to do anything underwater, you had to start filming above water and then take it down.
Yeah, okay.
So we did a thing called Sea Trek, which is where you put a big old helmet on your head.
Right.
And you walk under the water, literally like a hike, but underwater, which is where we saw the stingrays. And you had to start filming above the water and then just take it down the whole time.
You got that cool shot of you going in the water.
Yeah, so you get cool shots of, like, going. And so I tried to make it as cinematic as possible.
There was a lot of cinematic choices you made.
It was all vertical, too.
I think there were times when you were, like, going down a hallway or you took a turn and then there was a reveal.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it, Spencer. Making cinematic choices even on this trip. You can't help but
do it. Well, and the thing is, especially there. Right? Because, like,
to it.
Yeah, it's just if you don't shoot it cinematically, you're doing a disservice.
Right.
Like, it's screaming out to be shot cinematically. And so, I would do what had to be done to service the environment we were in.
You're not going to waste that opportunity.
Yeah, you can't waste it. And so when we went underwater, it was surreal because, those helmets, are really heavy and they weigh you down to the ocean floor. And so you can just walk. And I could literally take the camera and turn it around and film myself walking.
Did you do it with the baggie inside?
Yeah.
It looked so clear.
with yeah, the bag. Yeah, there's a section of the bag that, like, you have to... So the thing about the bag is that you have to take a bunch of precautions. And coming from our experience with Shark Week, I sort of, like, was trying to channel some of our great camera ops that we worked with. But one of the major things was, like, making sure that there was no water inside the bag before you go down, because then it just steams up. And I remember them talking about making sure there's no water in the casing.
Yes, I remember that.
Because it would fog up. So similar things. You have to make sure the whole thing is dry.
Oh, my God.
And then you also have to put air in it before you go under, because as you go under the water, the pressure of the water pushes down on it.
Yeah.
And if the plastic presses too hard against the phone, it doesn't look right. It distorts it.
Right.
I thought it would be the opposite. I thought I would have put less air in the bag. I could seal it as tight as I could, and then that would make it look better. Wasn't the case. It was better if I gave it a little bit of air, and then I took it underwater, and it naturally sealed it against there, and then also you have to position it just right. Anyway, by the third day, I had, like, this bag figured out.
Yeah.
I was trying so hard, because there's so many shots that
I didn't...
You
put it on your resume now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. There's so many shots that I wish that I got in the first couple days, because I couldn't figure out how to get the bag to work right. But by the end, by 3 days in, I had, like, figured out. I'd mastered the bag.
It's a story in its own. You just got to keep trying.
You got to keep trying. And I was like, you know what? There has to be a way, because, like, every once in a while, it would look beautiful. Like, when we were under with the manta rays.
Yeah.
Just was so fucking good. Like, just clear as day. And and there are some shots that I could pull up that were just foggy and hazy and awful. Not under the water, not during that time, but, like, sometimes I put the thing in the bag and clipped it closed.
Right.
And so I sat down one of the, like, the second night, I think, and I was like, I'm going to figure this bag out. This bag has something, because some shots look great and some don't. And yeah. And so anyway, figured it out. And from then on, it was like, I was determined to capture everything that was happening. But yeah, it was magical. We went ziplining as well. So we did, like, and there was one, I think I put it on there, that we zip line through a ring of fire.
Yes.
And
I
then
remember that.
Into an underground cenote.
Yes.
Like, you just end inside of an underground cave. It was insane. So every single day we were doing crazy stuff. We went swimming with sharks. God, what else did we do? I mean, we took an ATV through the jungle that ended up going underground. So you're like,
I feel like everything
underground...
you did was going underground in a cave. Like,
I put on the story. I feel like I spent more time underground during this trip than I did above ground. But yeah, one of the parks we went to was called Explore with an X, just X and then Plore.
Explore.
We didn't know it when we booked it. It had, like, you know, ATVing through the jungle and ziplining and that kind of stuff. No idea. The actual park itself is entirely underground. It's all spelunking. It's all in caves.
Oh my God.
That they've set up these booths and stuff. Yeah. And then you go above ground to do the ziplining. Uh-huh. But then you zipline down. So we did that first so we could zipline down into the cave, and then went cave exploring the whole time. And then went ATV. And, like, it was just, like, it was the most insane.
That's amazing.
It was so crazy. Yeah. We want to do another trip just to, like, really, like, we're like, next year we have to go again.
Yeah.
So cool. And we want to bring friends so you and Sarah should come.
Oh, man. Because
honestly,
amazing.
It was so cheap, too.
Really?
It was so
I
cheap.
Thought you were like, he must have been saving money for it. He must have gotten,
I mean,
whatever.
For
you know?
What it was so cheap. Because figure you go, it's seven. We went for 8 days, 7 nights.
Yeah.
All inclusive.
Food. We're talking food. We're talking
food,
drinks. We're talking
drinks. The whole park,
you could just
included.
That's insane.
And it was like, you know, it was cheaper than any other vacation we've taken. It was So you should come.
Okay, I will. That
we'll
sounds
have an
amazing.
Adventure.
I'm in this. It's funny. I'm dealing with a money issues right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Now so am I.
it's been a real kind of it's been a weird ride. I've been talking about doing that baked show, and I've kind of had to put some things on pause a little bit just to make some extra money.
Yeah.
And I luckily, thank God, got a little like a freelance gig.
Oh, good.
And so they're gonna, we're gonna do some work. I'm doing it now. I stayed up like all night the past two nights.
Jeez.
So I've just been, because they had like crazy deadlines. And so like I needed to make a really good first impression in the beginning, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Like I go there, I meet them this Sunday. I met them this past Sunday. And it's like this older guy who's like the editor. And then I'm like the social cut editor. So they want it to be like a now this
sure.
type of cut. So really like whatever, like words on the video, things like that. So I was kind of intimidated because the guy looked older. He looked like he was part of the union. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, I need to show up. I need to do a good job. I really got to put in the hours for this, you know? And yeah, that's so hopefully it turned out well. Like
good.
The guy liked
good.
It.
Cool.
And hopefully I'll get more. So it's kind of like, it sucks because I feel like I just got my, the momentum creatively to do my stuff. And now it's like, ugh, I have to take a step back. And do some freelance work. And yeah, I don't know. I haven't told you this, but I'm in the process, I think, of learning Avid.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How is that?
Well, I haven't bought it yet. I'm going to when I have more money.
It's expensive.
Well, it's
right?
only $20 a month.
Oh, okay. That's not
so
bad.
So I'll get it soon. Really what I need is I really want to do a simple narrative.
Yeah.
Simple shots just so I can get it done.
Yeah, just practice.
Just practice that way. And then hopefully
there's a mosquito right there. Do you want to kill it?
Where is it?
Right there.
I don't see it. I don't want to kill it.
It's a mosquito, isn't it?
You want to kill it?
I should kill it. Oh, there he goes.
I'm sorry. I couldn't kill it. I couldn't kill a mosquito. So yeah, I'm going to try to learn Avid, and then who knows where that's going to – that mosquito is going to bite me.
Yeah, I know. Now you're going to get it.
I know. Remember me, kind sir. Don't bite me, please.
Okay,
oh, shit.
If it comes near me, I'll kill it.
Okay.
Okay. There
you
go.
So, yeah.
You stay over there.
So I'm in this place of, like, I don't – you know, if I need more freelance gigs, I need to, like, beef up my demo resume again. I'm like, Jesus, I got to kind of go through the whole rigmarole.
Yeah, it is weird – that we live in a place where, I don't know if it's the place or the time or whatever, where we have full-time jobs and we're still picking up freelance work.
Oh my God. Something has to happen because I can't keep going on like
this. I know.
This. I think
it's so
I have
crazy.
Some ideas that I want to do, but it's going to take some time and it's going to slow a few things down.
It's weird how, because it's a similar sort of thing where like there's momentum on something and then life just has a way of butting in. I think that, you know, it's for me, the way that I think, there's not a reason for it. It just happens.
Yeah.
But I could see how somebody could could believe that that is a thing that is happening because of something. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like it happens so frequently, but my observation of it is that those things happen all the time, and I just notice them more often when there's something else that I really want to get done.
Right.
But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think it acts kind of like a. It forces you to kind of reframe. Your life in the sense of like, okay, this situation keeps happening. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to stay with it? Are you going to change it? Are you going to reevaluate what you want in life as far as like jobs go? And so sometimes you have to take time to rework that. So that's
And sometimes you just have to. Ooh, there he is.
There's that mosquito.
Let's see if I can get him. Got him.
He's dead.
Sorry, Dave. Ooh, he had some blood in him. Yum. Hope that blood's not. Someone doesn't have an STD. I'm wiping it on your rug.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, it's wiped. The hard thing is sometimes you just have to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you just have to say, okay, I'm gonna come back to this.
Yeah.
Even though it hurts, like.
Oh my God, I was in bed.
It sucks so bad.
I was in
bed
just like with my eyes closed. I was like, no, no.
Yeah.
And it's just like I have no other place where like I have to deal with it. But I think it's something that I needed to deal with anyway.
Yeah.
And so better to deal with it now than not at all. So.
Yeah. I was trying to bring you up a little bit. Can you talk again?
Hello. Here I am.
There you are. Okay.
I'm brought up.
And it makes it hard too when it's something that – you know you don't have to do. Like not the thing that's important. It's the thing that makes you happy, but that is not, it's not vital.
Right, exactly.
It feels like those things that make us happy, you have to take the back burner sometimes to be able to handle the stuff that needs to be done.
I'm thinking that this new projection that I'm kind of aiming for will help open me up to new opportunities to do that more often. I think, yeah. I don't know how much I want to say on the podcast.
Sure, yeah. No, you don't have to say too much.
But I think it'll put me in a place, hopefully, ideally, that I'll be able to, like, take time to be more creative, you know? Yeah. And that'd be dope. That'd be great. So who knows?
Somebody messaged me on Instagram, and I don't – they didn't ask me to read this, and I don't know if they're podcast fans or if they're just somebody who follows from somewhere else. But they asked a question that I think sort of applies to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But specifically about Icarus. They were like, you know, congrats on Icarus. Wanted to ask a question. I've got a friend who is always designing board games. I don't know if they mean they actually have a friend or if it's like, oh, I have a friend who's either way, it's
me.
Fine. It's me. I'm the friend. Either way is fine. You know, no pressure.
All right.
Constantly designing board games, they get to an alpha stage, they test it out, gets a good response, but then they drop off of the concept and move on to the next idea. Basically, do they have any advice on how to focus on the one idea until it's completed? Mm-hmm. And so I haven't responded yet because I literally just saw it like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
So I will respond here, and then I will also respond on there, but I want to get your take as well on this, because I know we both have projects that are like we always are thinking of things we want to do.
Right.
And the short answer for me is that you just have to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like it, you have to get past the honeymoon stage and then just do the damn thing.
Yeah.
The longer response is that I still suffer from this. Yeah. I still struggle with this.
My question to you, because I'll be honest and frank with you, is like, that's pretty, I admire you for how like much you follow through with
your
project.
Oh, thank you.
Like I do a lot. And
well, if only you knew how many things I didn't follow through with, admire me so much.
The thing is I guess my question is when you're working on, I guess, Icarus, or yeah, let's just say Icarus,
okay,
times
sure, yeah.
when you had another project come up and you really wanted to work on it, but you were like, no, I'm not going to work on that now. I'm going to work on this project right now. Or like, how does that, how do you deal with like other inspirations wanting to take space of your mind?
They do. And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
I'm certainly no master at this, but from what but from having a project that has now successfully pretty much for the most part gone from conception to being a product that people can buy, I'm still in the process of delivering the final files and those kinds of things. In fact, I was delivering files today for it. Like, that's how in the weeds we are with it. But there is a I tackle it from two fronts, personally, and then only now analyzing it, so bear with me. But the two fronts I think I tackle it from are, well, I guess it's really two steps for me. The first one is, if I have an idea that I really, really want to do, and this happened just recently. I was just talking to Hannah yesterday. I have a project that that I see a market space for, a game that I see a market space for that doesn't exist, that I really want to make. But I have other things that I've developed further. They're further along that I'm now having to. So anyway, I'm literally in the process of doing it right now. But there's a new thing that has taken some of my attention.
Yeah.
And what I found works for me, and I don't know if it will work for everybody, but what works for me is that I open a Google Doc and I literally write everything I can think of in that Google Doc from that project. So that, because I'm an obsessive person.
Yeah.
I have an obsessive personality, just in general. And so if I don't expel it from my brain and put it somewhere, I will not stop thinking about it ever.
Yeah, totally.
I will fall asleep thinking about it. Yeah. I will wake up thinking about it. I will eat my lunch thinking about it. I will force it to go away while I'm doing other things, and it will claw its way back into my brain. And so I just purge everything onto a page so that I don't – one, so I don't forget it, and two, so that my brain knows I won't forget it because it's on a page. Every time I have an idea, I go back and purge again onto that page. In between those moments, I just shut it off.
Yeah.
I just push it. I just like put it at bay and just know it's there and focus, keep focusing on the thing at hand until that is done. The other thing is I try not to let too much time pass on one project.
Yeah.
So like Icarus, I worked on for a while, you know, for a while, but I iterated on it super fast.
Yes, you did.
Until it was a game and then it went out there. Like, it has not been a long time. And so for me, I found that on longer term projects, you have to let things sit for a little bit, or it takes a long time to do things. But relative to the project, I found I can't just let it sit if I want to get it done. Mm-hmm. If I want to get it done, I just have to get it done, get it all done, get a draft out, then let that thing sit, let the other thing take over in my brain.
Yeah.
And then put that down on paper again, let that sit, go back to the other thing. And I just have to, it's like a fight every day just to like focus on the thing.
It's, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm dealing with is I have like four different things that want to be top priority.
Yep.
And then I feel like, you know, I can do it all. And then it's, I reach a point where like, I can't do any of this.
Sure.
And now I've wasted all this time trying to do it.
Well, and you have four things that are all a quarter of the way done.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning how to not do that. But luckily, I've been disappointed in myself enough times to be able to force myself to finish stuff.
Right.
And
I love the idea of the purge, just purging all your thoughts onto something. I think that's key.
It's so key for me.
I have the same issue where I'm just like, I'll be thinking about it, rephrasing it, and there's too much to keep in my brain that I can't even remember the past thought that I had like 10 minutes ago. But if it's all purged out, not only are the thoughts there, but my emotions are almost like purged out as well.
It's
like,
exactly how it is.
It's there on paper. I can go back to it. I can revisit it. What's your filing system for that?
Because Google Docs.
I know, but
all Google Docs.
Do you have a folder? Do you put those? Do you have like a this is the purge folder?
No, I have folders for each project.
Okay.
So I organize everything by project, and then I have a purge doc for each project, and then I have art inspiration for each project.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I see something that inspires me, I'll just grab it and throw it in there, and everything's up on the cloud so that I always have it. Everywhere,
accessible
on my computer, on my phone, doesn't matter.
That's what I love about the whole Google Drive situation is you can access it from anywhere.
From anywhere, If I'm standing in line to get lunch, and something hits me, I can purge immediately. And then not have to worry about it until what I need to do gets done. It's interesting because there's a mindset that I have to get myself into. During Icarus, it happened when I had to get stuff done quickly because of publishing. I found that when there are outside forces that are counting on me to not disappoint them, that's when I have the easiest time focusing. If it's just me, accountability is a lot harder. It's still possible. But it's a lot harder, which is why sometimes working in partners or in pairs is really good. It also makes it harder. That does make it harder because either A, you're counting on somebody else to do stuff and they don't, or B, just finding time to work with somebody else is hard. So there is certainly a challenge there, but at the same time, being accountable to somebody else is really key. For me, when I feel that pressure, it's me not wanting to disappoint.
No, totally. Somebody else. Exactly.
That's unfortunately the driving factor in my entire creative life. If you don't have that, which I don't have with most projects that I do, except for stuff at work, creating it artificially like
creating deadlines and stuff like that for yourself.
Creating deadlines, enforcing those deadlines, mm-hmm. and knowing this project is getting cut off at the end of this week.
Yeah.
So anything I want to do on it right now has to be done by the end of this week, and then I'll schedule a, like, for games, and it's different depending on what medium you're in, but right. if it's a game, I'll schedule a playtest for Saturday. Mm-hmm. I have to have it done by then.
Yeah.
I just don't have a choice because we're going to play it. With a film, it's like, okay, I'm going to screen it for you
yeah.
on Saturday.
Right, it has to be
Hold
done.
Me to that.
Yeah.
You know? Finding somebody else or finding an outside force mm-hmm. that you don't want to disappoint. Even if they're not imposing it upon you, you impose it upon yourself vis-a-vis somebody else.
Yes.
That's the only way I've found really, because I can do it myself, but nothing is as consistently as powerful as having somebody else or mm-hmm. something else outside of me that enforces those things.
That's true. I wonder if – have you ever come across the idea of, like, you're working on something, you're trying to shape it, and it's not coming together the way you want it to.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot longer than you want it to. And so you're kind of bummed about it, and you say, you know what? I have this other idea that I think is going to be better. I think it's going to have more inspiration for, and I'm going to go down that road. Like, where is that point where you, like – okay, this project is done. I can't really add any more to it. Or do you just say, hey, I'm going to keep going with this. I'm going to purge that idea that I have just now. And I'm going to keep pushing at this idea that I really can't crack. Because you're nervous about it not being perfect enough. You're worried about it not being like the way you want it to be presented for people. I mean, does that resonate with you?
When do you do that?
When do I do that? Yeah. I mean, I do it all the time. I work on something.
Like, what's the breaking point for you?
I guess the breaking point either becomes... That's a good question. I think it's... If it's a script I'm working on, it's usually like... dialogue based. If it's a thing that I'm working on, it's usually like finances. It usually sometimes outside emergency factors. Outside factors comes in. Sometimes it's even just my own fear and my own insecurity that stops me from furthering, because it's just like, well, this is shit. I'm just gonna go and jump on this other idea because it's like it's not strong enough to just kind of carry me through. And it's like, am I really gonna spend another couple months trying to do this where I feel like it's not going to go well, you know? But then again, it's like, then you bounce from month to month to month, and you at year, 2 year passes, nothing happens. And then the question of like, is this priority right now? Like, for example, you're in debt and you have to pay that off. Like, you begin to question, is my time worth in working on this project creatively? Or do I need to go and make money? Do I need to, you know, sometimes I create unnecessary things I have to do. I create a list. A list of things like, well, first I got to clean this house. I got to fix my car. And to do that, I got to pay this thing off and to do this. And I make a list of things that I feel like I need to do. I don't know. I think it's just right now it's been kind of figuring out what works for me and what really is important.
Yeah. So the reason why I ask you is because the question I think for me here is sort of twofold. The first one is when is it right to let a project simmer?
Yeah.
Or sit to the side versus, well, I guess that's not even the question. The question is sort of, but like, when is it right to just stick by a thing?
Yeah.
When is it right to know when to abandon something? Mm-hmm. Or when do you know that you just need some time off from it? And these are hard questions. These are questions that I think a lot of artists and creative people struggle with. For me, there have been projects that I've abandoned mm-hmm. completely. Lots of them. There have been projects that I have that haven't really gone anywhere. And then there've been the things that I, you know, that I have completed. And a lot of the times, the reason that that I've completed the things I've completed is because those things that ended up dying, I killed them.
Yeah.
Not always, but sometimes I just put the kibosh on it because I can't do it right now.
I think it's the and also sometimes you hold on. Sorry to hold on no, to your okay. idea because you feel like abandoning it because makes you into like, oh, I'm a failure because yeah. I abandoned it
100%.
And you know, I'm not going to abandon it this time. But then it becomes almost like I need to do it instead of I want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of like a new thing of discovery. It's yeah. just like figuring out not having to feel bad about letting something go.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And honestly, it's one of the hardest things to do when you really, really care about something. And usually when I truly care about something, I won't let go. Like for, let's see, I'm trying to think about the best example. There was a project I was working on, called Heartstrings that was about, it was this weird indie game that I was working on about friendships and how, which sounds odd, but basically it's about how a group of friends, it's a story of a group of friends mm-hmm. and lots of stories revolve around what it's like between, two people that are in love or two people that are, you know, and there are lesser stories. There are some, but there are less stories about like a group of three or four people that right. all care about each other and how does their life play out around each other. And the hook in it is that you have a ball of yarn okay. and you're literally passing the yarn back and forth and wrapping it around your hands every time you're building bonds with each other. And every time you do something that might put that bond into question or you do something that would hurt, that is to help somebody else but maybe inadvertently hurts yeah. one of the other people, you have to cut those strings uh-huh. between each other. And it didn't work. It just didn't work.
Right.
And we played it at a convention with people that I had that I really respected and cared about their input and honestly, was excited to be trying a game out that I made with,
yeah.
and it just didn't work at all. And that was really embarrassing because it was in front of all yeah. these people that were people that I respected and that were peers and mentors. Luckily, I had other stuff that I had already made so that it wasn't like, oh, this is the kind of thing that he makes.
Yeah.
And so I abandoned that thing mostly out of embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And I think visually it looked really cool because you had a table full of people that uh-huh. all had these bonds to each other
yeah.
and then had cuts to those bonds. And so like you were anyways, it had a table presence thing.
Right.
So I think there's my objective brain says there's something cool there.
Yeah.
To like building these relationships with people and physically being able to see them. But that was a project where it's just, I worked on it for, you know, weeks and it just didn't, when I didn't played, land, it didn't work. Yeah. It didn't land. And I think it's important to do is to fail.
Yeah.
To try stuff. And that's also why it's important, no matter what medium you're in, to get stuff to, quote unquote, to the table as yeah. fast as possible. Like if you're writing a script, even if it's not all the way done, like pitch the idea mm-hmm. to people. Even if you don't have the script done, pitch the idea. Try not to take there's a danger in doing that in that you're getting your endorphins from telling people your good idea and so that's you exactly never actually it. Write the script.
Yeah.
Which is really dangerous. But if you can know that going into it and avoid getting mm-hmm. that, see what other people think of it. Share your script early and often. I used to harbor everything.
Yeah.
And what I found is I spent too much time doing that.
Yeah.
And because of that, I wasted so much time on yeah. things that didn't have a path forward. And also knowing 150% that some of your projects will die and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like the idea that, you know, Steven Spielberg popped out of the womb and made great movies.
Yeah.
Is not he had many failures along the way, mm. and you know he worked really hard, obviously, and that's what, you know, made him into the mogul he is now. But at the same time, like, he made tons of mistakes all throughout his career, maybe small ones, maybe big ones, but there were so many films, I guarantee there are so many films that he wanted to make that he didn't get to. So if somebody like that it has that same experience, like, we just have to realize that there are things that sometimes are just not going to come to fruition. So when something does, that we need to cherish it, because, like, that's if everything that we wanted to make was great and came to fruition, we would have way too much going on in our lives. You know what I mean? You have to make those mistakes over and over and over and over. You have to do projects that go nowhere to be able to learn what to do when you have a project that is going to go somewhere.
There's this idea of, like, this is where I envision myself to be, and then as I start walking and moving, it's like, oh my God, I don't even know how to walk.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm gonna run a mile, and then you get up out of your chair and you start to run and you can't even, like, take a right or left step. You feel like a moron, and you're like, well, I feel like I'm already failing as I'm jumping into this project. You know what I mean? Like, say I'm storyboarding or I'm doing something, like, I put it on paper and I look at it and I'm like, I'm not happy with this.
Yeah.
And so it's at a point where, like, okay, you just have to push through it, even if you're not happy with what you have.
Yes.
You kind of have to just,
I was going
to
say, there is a flip side to what I said, which sounded like, if a project's not good, just give up on it. And the flip side is, you can always revise stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what do you care about and what have you invested in?
Yeah.
And, you know, time is precious, but don't, just because you've spent a lot of time on something doesn't mean that you have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Time is precious because we only have so much time to do the things that we want to do. But if you spent the last 6 months doing something and you suddenly realize that it's not working, don't spend six more months doing it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a hard line there, and I guarantee in those 6 months, when you came to the realization that the thing you wanted to do isn't going to happen or doesn't work, you've learned
much through that
when you go into the next project, you don't make those same mistakes as often.
Right.
So that's empowering in a way, right? Like, like, there are projects that we love that we want to do and that we just, right now we just can't. And that's okay. It's to have the strength to say, hey, I'm going to come back to you. Or, hey, like, I really love this. It's not going to happen right now.
I think jumping.
Yeah. Doing that yourself is empowering.
Right. And I think something about just, even if you do it and you fail, you'll still learn something. Yeah. Doing these projects really forces you to face yourself and to come face to face with your, I don't know, your insecurities, your tendencies, your coping mechanisms, the way that you, I don't know, just certain things that you may not realize that you have, like certain, tendencies to, if someone insults your project, you start, you become very depressed and you go into a very, like, small state, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you jump from project to project because you're riding on those endorphins, I think there's something about doing these projects that forces you to learn more about yourself. I don't know if that makes sense.
It forces the practice of self-control.
Yeah. Well, that's the hard thing. Self-control is, because it just gnaws in you the whole time. It's like, I can't do anything else until I finish this thing. Yeah. But
And then the honeymoon period ends, and then you have to, and then there's something else that catches your attention, and it's like the, you know, it's the, do I even want to do that thing anymore? Mm-hmm. Do I even care about that thing anymore?
Right.
And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do. Yeah. What, I'm going to ask a two-part question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I think it's interesting since we're already here to answer, and I don't even know the answer myself. I have to think about it, but the two-part question is, what's a failure that you had as a child that you now look back on and realize wasn't a big deal?
Oh.
And then what do you feel like is the biggest failure you've learned from so far in your life?
Wow.
Those are hard questions. I'm sorry.
No, that's a good. Those are good.
But confronting those things also, like,
Those are good questions for me, even if I can't answer now, that
yes.
I'm going to be thinking about. What failure did I have as a kid that I realize now is not a big deal? And then what failure did I have that I've learned from?
What's the biggest, what's just the biggest failure you've had as a human so far that you were able to learn something from? Because there are failures that just happen, and it's the failure is not because you did something wrong.
Yeah.
It's just because sometimes things don't work.
Yeah.
You know? But there are also failures that happen where you go, man, I fucked up.
Yeah.
How do I not do that?
Yeah.
And those are defining moments, I think, in our lives. For me, I remember in...
That's such a good question.
Fifth
yeah.
grade.
Uh-huh.
Was it fifth grade? Yeah. Mrs. Arnold's class.
Okay.
We did presidential reports. And we had to turn in our... rough drafts. But I didn't know this.
Okay.
Until the day of.
Okay.
So I wrote my rough draft at lunch.
Okay.
And I thought I did a great job. The internet wasn't really a thing, so I just literally pulled up an encyclopedia from the library and in elementary school, of all places, and wrote like three paragraphs or whatever you do in elementary, fifth grade. I don't remember what it was. I got a D on it. The teacher was very harsh. She was just like a harsh teacher.
Right.
And I was an A student all through elementary school, through school. I went and sat with the other D's that day after we got done.
Oh, no. The other D's. Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is what I've become.
Yeah. And you thought that was you forever.
This is who I am now. I am a D student.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
Forgot that I had to do it, and she saw right through the fact that I had written it in 25 minutes or whatever, and was like, no, this is not.
That is the thing. You really stick to this idea.
Man, it hurt me.
That's who I am now. Yeah. This is who I am. I failed. This is what I'm going to be. And
well, there's a disappointment in, like, it's funny looking at it at fifth grade, but it's like, I used to be so good, and now I'm this. Like, our identity is so fleeting back then that for me it was like I didn't know who I was for a moment, and I got lost. But, you know, of course, you come back to whatever. Like, I ended up doing the report, and it was fine because I had a chance to do the actual thing. But at the same time, it's just one of those things that, like, it still sits with me today, which is odd because it shouldn't. There's no reason why that should be a thing that still gnaws at me, but for some reason it still hurts a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
just from a, like, not like I don't care about it now, but on an emotional level, I remember having that reaction. Like, that reaction is what I remember. That feeling of pain and disappointment and sadness and, like, like losing my way.
Right.
Can you think of anything as a kid?
I don't know. That is such a good question that maybe I've kind of blocked out in my life. I've also been a kid who, like, I mean, this is just who I am, is I've always been safe, and it's like, I guess maybe that's been kind of
the mistake.
The mistake is, you know, not taking chances just out of fear of people's reactions, you know. I think that's, it can be debilitating, which is unfortunate, but it, you know.
You know, I got really lucky as a kid because I would, I think it comes from having super supportive parents. Mm-hmm. But anytime I would work on something, on a project, they would support me in it. They would be like, you know, oh, this is cool, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, and my dad specifically, whenever I had something that, like, I got really passionate about, he would always get passionate about it with me or for me. Sometimes his passion for it would outweigh mine by the end of the day, and I'd like give up on it, and he'd be like, no, you're gonna do that thing that was really cool, why aren't you doing it? And so it would reinforce for me, like, oh, yeah, I was going to do that, and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I think that led to that I've been really – that I've only recently realized in the past, like, year, and that I feel really lucky for, is that when there is a project that it, when there's something that I want to do, and maybe this is a flaw as well, I don't know, but I've learned to appreciate it. My initial instinct is like, oh yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Why not? You
can
do that.
That is such
go, a... Just go do it, and right. then I'll go do it like 150% as hard as I possibly can.
Yeah, because that is a very bold statement to have where it's like, no, I'm capable of that. I deserve to do that. And when you think about it, it doesn't come easy to some people.
Yeah,
you know,
and so,
I mean?
And so, yeah, because there's a lot of people that I've met now that, you know, when I talk about something I'm working on, they're like, oh, how did you learn how to do that? Or where, you know, how long you've been doing that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. I just did it.
Yeah.
I literally just sat down and did it. And that they're like, oh, I don't, you know, I would never be able to do that. And I'm like, yeah, of course you can do that.
You can, yeah.
Why wouldn't you be able to do that? And it's funny because I find myself now, we see our parents and ourselves mm-hmm. so often now. And I see myself getting really excited when somebody else wants to do a project.
Yeah.
Like if Hannah has something that she's working on or, you know, like I get that same, I see my dad in that.
That's very cool. Yeah.
I see it being like, no, let's go buy the stuff right now and do
yeah,
it right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 11 o'clock. CVS is still open till yeah. midnight. Let's go buy the stuff now and let's do it immediately.
Yeah.
And part of that is recklessness.
Uh-huh.
And, not ego in a bad way, but like knowing, like part of it has to do with ego, right? Like
yeah.
the idea that you can, you are capable of doing something.
And yeah.
And no. I've maybe for the first time realized how lucky I am that I was instilled with the, mm-hmm. no, you can do that if you really want to do it. Like the, where they're like, you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
That like trope, that was, it's not fake. Like when you tell kids,
yeah.
hey, just do the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you empower them to do those things, they're more likely to, at least from me, like me as an example, I don't know scientifically, but anecdotally, that's what I was told. And now I feel like if there's a project I want to do, I can figure out how to do it.
Right.
And I want to pass that to other people. I feel myself, not even that I want to, I just inherently, like somebody wants to do something, my everything about me says,
wait, let's do it.
You can do
let's
that.
Do
yeah,
yeah,
you
yeah,
can
yeah.
absolutely do that. There's
yeah.
no reason why you can't do that.
Well, I think
yeah, it's
on
a blessing
the,
and a curse. I think.
I think you know, on the other side of that, with people who don't have that, who they're like, no, I can't do this. No, I can't. No, I can't. No, I can't.
Well, it's just like I don't even know
it's
where to start.
Yeah, you don't. I don't know where to start. I'm incapable. You're so used to hearing that. Or you telling yourself that all the time?
Yeah.
That it's almost like it locks you up when you try to make the first step, that your brain is so used to saying, no, you can't do this. You're going to fuck up. You're going to fuck up somewhere, that even if I take the first step, it's like, okay, you did this one, but you might fuck up next time,
yeah.
you know? And so it's almost practicing or reprogramming your brain to just say, hey, like, I hear you, brain. You know what I mean? I hear that you're trying to say all these things and – you know, that's what you used to tell me as a kid so that I wouldn't get, you know, picked on by all these other kids. You know, it's like, hey, like, watch out. But now you need to start practicing that idea of like, no, I can do this. I can do this. And almost reprogram your brain in such a way.
Yeah.
Where
that's not
you're giving yourself the opportunity.
Where you're fighting that. And I think that there's a there's always roadblocks. Like for me, my roadblock comes after I've gotten past the first stage of, for some people, the roadblock is, I don't know where to start. I usually can figure out where to start.
Yeah.
It's halfway through.
Right.
That my brain goes, oh, you're a fuck up and you don't know how to do this. You're not, it's never going to be anything good. You don't know what you're doing. And that's, it's better than not starting at all. But, you know, it's also difficult because then I've put hours into it.
Yeah.
Hours that I can't get back. And if I really feel like it's not something that I'm, that is going to be good, then, you know, there's a fear of failure that always lies in there. And I think that we just have to fight that. And I've tried to actively fight that as much as possible
uh-huh.
and said I'm okay, like, especially as I've gotten older, be like, I'm okay to fail.
Yeah.
Failure is part of the process, but it still fucking hurts. And if you don't do the thing in to start with, then your brain goes, well, you can't fail.
Yeah.
Because you never did it. You know, if you never do it, then you won't fail.
There definitely is something about
it. But then you're ultimately failing.
Right.
Right? It feels better for... rationally it feels better to do it and fail than not do it at all, because yeah. then you still are in the same place and you haven't learned anything. But there is that embarrassment that happens that is, you know, I think it's in everybody, and imposter syndrome, right? You get to a place and you're like, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
I'm not good at this. Why suddenly do people think I'm good at this thing? But you know, I think we all have that in us, especially when we start to, especially when a project is really, when we feel great about a project and then we hit a roadblock.
Yeah. I think it's really important to have that mentality of just like, you can do this thing. You know what I mean? You can do it. If you're not used to having that voice in your head, then, you know, it doesn't mean you can't get that voice in your head.
Yeah. I'd like to do a thing, whether it's on the Slack or on Twitter or whatever, where like, if you're running into a roadblock on a project, just being able to reach out to people that can tell you that you can do it.
Yeah.
Like you can, you know, we all hit those problems. And so I'd encourage you to, you know, to reach out to people. You can even reach out to me. If you want to reach out to me, I will tell you that, you know, you should keep, you can do it. If you really want to do it, that you can, but sometimes we just need that extra voice.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, I think that there is a super supportive community on the Slack. Mm-hmm. That if you want to join the Slack, you can go on there and, you know, post stuff that you're working on. I think there's even a channel
for it. We made shit.
And you can post on there and people are pretty encouraging and will also give you feedback if you want it. But I would encourage all the people that are Whistlers too, to reach out to the Whistler community to be able to get that support, because I think that's and that includes me, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, but that includes me. If there's something that you're working on and you're like, man, I just feel like I'm not good enough to do this, we need that voice outside of us sometimes. And I'm lucky enough that I got it growing up that you know that I hear that voice in my head overpowering the self-doubt more often than not, which is dangerous, but also I feel lucky, but we don't all have that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just work that part in that muscle in your brain.
Yeah.
Give that more power to say you can do this.
Yeah, the inner monologue.
Yeah.
Just keep – it's hard. It's so hard.
I know we're going to wrap soon, but definitely like on my journey – yeah,
geez, we're already at an hour.
Definitely on my journey, there was a point where you just have to like – there was like, just say something nice about yourself. Like, look in a mirror and just say like that you love yourself or something. And even sometimes doing that can be very difficult. And just it feels funny. It feels like, oh, this is weird. This isn't right. But it's because you haven't worked that muscle and you're not used to feeling empowered that way. And then the more and more you do it, and doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but the more and more you do it, then that voice will get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. It's
like you've had it since you were a kid.
Right.
And so you've had that, just like that muscle is strong.
Yeah. It's been working.
And some people it's like gone into atrophy and just like hasn't, you know, of course it can't lift anything. It hasn't been fed. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So it's just like, like where we put our attention to, you know, is important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that that something so internal, something so reliant on our brain, in a sense, the thing that we feel like we control, controls us so heavily.
Yeah.
But it does. It truly does. And the only thing that can often, like I was saying, it's weird because the outside forces, man, for some reason we listen to other people, but we don't listen to ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you having a community that supports as a support system, or even just another person to have as a support system is really key. And if you don't have that person, let me know and I'll be that person, because you can help me stay accountable too.
Yeah.
But we're about at an hour now, so we're gonna leave in a minute, but I just want to also say thank you to everybody, because I haven't been on the podcast since Icarus launched. The launching happened in what's that word that I'm looking for? Lockstep with when our actual play was released. And then I went on vacation and then I wasn't here last week. But we are, as of this recording, we are at $26,000, which is 260% of the goal.
Yeah.
So, thank you for everybody that has supported, whether that is giving a dollar or, you know, backing the game outright or, just spreading the word. We're coming up on, I think there's 4 days left, three days left, something like that. There'll be a couple days left when this goes up. So we'll be sort of in the home stretch. So yeah, so and I'm going to do a final sort of push in the home stretch as the thing wraps. So if you will join me doing a home stretch push, that would be awesome. And I'll be out of your hair and be deep into Icarus land, getting everything fulfilled. Which luckily I don't have to do that much for because I'm not the publisher, so that's great. But there's still work to do. But yeah, thank you so much for all the support and for the love and for spreading the word. And there's just been an outpouring of support from this community and from the RPG communities that I'm a part of outside of this group, particularly this circle. So to all of those people, thank you, because it wouldn't be possible without you. So any last words you want to say?
No, you know what? I think we said everything. We got deep in this episode.
We got to think about our greatest mistakes now.
Yeah, I really want to sit with that and think about it because I think I could benefit from knowing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that you're like my greatest. I think that my mistake was not making enough mistakes.
Yeah.
Which is very valid. That's how we learn. And if we keep ourselves from making mistakes, you won't learn.
You won't learn.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. It's been an hour and 1 minute, 40 seconds. I don't know if that's going to be the amount of time that on the thing, but who knows.
Where can they find you?
Oh, where can they find me?
Yeah.
God, you can find me at Spencer Stone. This is our, what, 70-something?
7-something, yeah. I don't know.
70-something episode, and I'm still not used to it. You can find me at Spencer Stark on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me on Louie12 on Instagram.
And you can find at We Stayed Late at We Stayed Late. I think I think we have an Instagram, but mostly Twitter.
Do we have an Instagram?
I think so. We had one.
Oh.
Back when Autumn was a part of the
podcast.
Didn't
know that. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Man, this podcast has gone through so many phases. Yeah, I love it.
I know. It's got a life. But yeah, you can also join us on Slack on there. And if you are listening to this in your ear holes, you can go to youtube.com/
Oh, baby.
We Stayed Late.
Yeah, youtube.com/ We Stayed Late.
And you can subscribe there and then you can watch us.
Yeah.
Not live. You can watch us in the flesh on there and go subscribe on there so that we can do some cool stuff.
And one day we'll reach 1,000.
One day.
It's going to be amazing.
Yep. It's going to happen one day.
And follow Star.
Oh, yeah. Star's not here, but follow Star. And, you know, you can find her. We're always retweeting each other's stuff.
Yeah.
Us on there. And go read Ruby Whipple.
RubyWhipple.com.
RubyWhipple.com. There's some crazy shit happening right now in the comic that I'm really excited for you guys to see because it's something that I've been planning in my head since the very beginning and it's just now coming to fruition.
Amazing.
And man, it has become a weird comic in the last 4 pages. So go check that out and catch up on that because it's gonna be really cool. Anyway, I think that's it.
Yep. Go out there.
Make shit.
And fail.
Go fail. Make me proud and fail. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
It was claps this time.